Welcome to Bother Moves. I'm Amandle Mukubung, and I have the privilege of having conversations with ordinary young South Africans about how they're making money for themselves. I feel like today's episode is actually one for the books because I've really been fortunate enough to have known our guest for quite a couple of years, and watching the growth of her business has been a treat. It's been inspiring. And just to paint a picture for our listeners, I met Bonto, who is the founder of Bonto the Beauty, and I believe you'll tell us a bit more about it a bit later. I met her in November 2020. I was looking for makeup tutorials in Johannesburg. I came across her Facebook page. I sent her an inquiry. I moved to WhatsApp to chat into her, and a few days later, she was at my house teaching me how to apply my makeup because I was completely useless at doing that. And fast forward to about 18 months later, you then launched your second beauty bar. And at the time when I met you, you were just starting out. So I'm hoping that from this episode, we'll really get to learn, you know, some of your secrets to success and use that to move us forward, use that to possibly get into very own hustle or own small businesses, because we're totally inspired by your story. So Bonto Sibanyoni, welcome to Bother Moves.
Hi, Amandle. Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Please tell us a bit about yourself.
Bonto Sibanyoni is a 26-year-old. I'm Ndebele. I was born in Mpumalanga. Moved to Germiston at the age of 6 when my mom got married to my stepdad, and I went to school at Balmoral College in Boksburg from grade 1 to grade 12. After grade 12, I then enrolled at UJ 2015 to 2017 when I dropped out of UJ, and then I got a job in retail. There I lasted only 10 months.
Okay.
Then after that, I moved to Pretoria to look for new opportunities. I only lasted for a year, and I came back to Germiston in 2019, where I actually started as a makeup artist.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Was makeup artistry always the plan? Because you speak a bit about going into retail, moving a bit. What plan did you have when you were in high school in terms of your career?
So in high school, I was good in math. I was good in science.
Nice.
And and you know, when you're good in those subjects, your teachers always tell you, do engineering, you know, be a doctor, do this and that, you know, they would throw different career paths to you. So I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be a chemical engineer, actually.
And then you became a beat artist.
I am telling you,
the engineer was always in there. You're engineering our faces
now. I am telling you. So I wanted to be a chemical engineer, but I didn't quite get good marks. So I settled for construction management.
Okay.
Yes. I did that for about 2 years. And because I didn't have enough funds, I owed the UJ a whole lot of money.
Sure.
And I had to drop out. But there's something interesting. Now, as a child, I always said, I'm going to have a salon. Literally.
Oh, okay.
Literally. I don't even know. But as a teenager, I remember as a teenager, from the age of about 13, 14, I used to do hair. I used to do kids' hair.
Oh, so and you're always in beauty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they would pay me like 10 rand, 20 bucks, and I'd give it to my mom so she can buy, I mean, shave or, you know,
of course,
things for the house. Yeah. But then I had to stop because my mom told me they will bewitch me. Yeah. So I stopped at the age of 14. But since then, I would tell myself, I want to have a salon. I want to have a salon. And then when I went to high school, I somehow forgot about all that. But now that I'm old, I mean, I have two salons.
So the dream was always there to get into beauty, the beauty space.
Yes. I started doing my makeup at the age of 12.
What attracted you to the beauty industry, or what fascinated you about beauty?
My skin. I had bad skin, terrible skin. I was suffering from acne for a very long time. So I wanted to cover up my acne and my dark spots and everything.
Yeah.
So I would always wear foundation, always wear, you know, then I started doing my brows, and then I started, you know, doing eyeshadow and all these things. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing how we sometimes start businesses based on what we are looking for, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're looking for something, you can't find it in the yes. market, and then you kind of solve your own problem mm-hmm. and you realize that there's more of you
solving
out there.
Your own problem.
Would you say this is an important thing when somebody's looking at how do I start making my own money?
Yes. Yes. Because they say you make the most money from something that doesn't feel like a job.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So I believe that's that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you get some formal training? Because you speak of how you used to cover up. Were you looking at YouTube videos?
Yeah.
Like, where did you learn to?
From YouTube.
Oh, okay.
That's how I learned, from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I was doing my own face.
Okay.
Now, when I started being a makeup artist now, I needed to practice on different faces because I was used to doing my face. But the fact that I'm good at doing my face doesn't mean that I will be good at doing your face as well. So now, I have a little sister, Mpo.
Okay.
Yes. So this is where she comes on board now.
Yeah.
So I would watch these YouTube videos, look at different looks, and then try them on her.
Ah.
And then take pictures.
Did you have enough data to go onto these platforms and learn? Because at times we do want to tap into something new. You mm-hmm. don't possibly have the funds to go mm-hmm. for formal training. But then you look at YouTube and you think, I'm going to sit there and watch this YouTube video, which is about 25 minutes long. And I don't necessarily have the data to do it.
You know what I used to do?
Yeah.
So I used to go to a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Oh.
And then connect to the Wi-Fi and then download the videos for later, so that I can watch them later.
That's smart.
Yeah. So I'll download like 5 to 10 videos so I can watch them later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without data.
That's smart. A girl mm-hmm. with a plan. Now, what happened when you had to start the actual business, having to buy equipment? I know, you know, as a young person, when you want to start something, well, with some people, the challenge comes in finding funding because young people always talk about, look, I don't know where to find funding, how to start this business. Did you have enough to buy your own equipment? Did you look for funding? Take us through the process of this is now moving from, you know, being something of interest, but now I'm trying to get formal and get mm-hmm. into the space. Take us into how you started.
Okay. So I was very angry.
Okay.
I'll tell you why I was angry. I was angry because I didn't have funding at school. You know, I just thought the government couldn't help me. No one could help me continue with my studies.
Yeah.
So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to do this with or without any help. That was the attitude. So I was actually very angry, but it was positive in a way. So how did I start? I had like my own personal mini kit.
Okay.
My one foundation, one powder, a few lipsticks, eyeliner, you know, just a mini personal kit. So that's what I was using. So now when I advertise and I would tell the client to pay 50% deposit upfront.
That's clever.
And when I started, I would ask the client to send me a picture. So you send me a selfie,
okay.
Then I see your complexion.
Ah.
If you are a bit darker, then I'll take the 50% and go to Clicks and buy a foundation that matches your skin, and then I use everything else that I have.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's how I started. So with each and every client, I would do that. Then with the profit, I would then go back to Clicks and get whatever I needed. Yes.
Were you making money at the time?
No, I wasn't making money. I wasn't making money for a year.
For a whole year.
Yeah.
And what kept you going?
It was fun.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
It was fun. I didn't have a job, so it kept me busy. It kept me busy. And I would keep like R100 or so, and I would do my hair. So yeah, at the time I had hair. I kept hair. So I would do braids and everything. Yeah.
And now, Ponso, you talk of how you were not making money in the first year. And that can be discouraging at times to people who are trying to support you, especially as family, because you're trying to sell this idea to them. You're not only selling the idea to yourself, who probably didn't believe that, you know, I could be a business person, but you also have to sell the idea to them, and hopefully they will believe that this thing will work, because those are the people giving you feedback. Those are the people telling you, Ponso, just stop this thing and go look for a proper job. How did you overcome that?
I'm very stubborn.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm very stubborn. I've been stubborn. I'm very rebellious. I'm a rebellious child.
Yeah.
So I believe in what I believe in.
Yeah.
My family would tell me, Poncho, look for a job. Why don't you go back to school? Why don't you look for a proper job? You know, and I'll tell them, but I'm working. Yeah. I'd say that all the time, but I'm working. Can't you see I'm working?
Of course.
Yes. I'm not asking for money from home. I'm not asking you to help me out. I'm not asking you to do anything. So I'm working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, because you're talking about money, let's just get into it. And this podcast is mainly about how do we make more money for ourselves. What is your relationship with money? Are you a saver, a big spender? What's your relationship like with money?
I'm a saver. I'm a saver. I love money, but also I want money to work for me.
Of course.
So I'm a saver.
Oh, okay.
I do spend though.
To reward yourself all that hard work.
I do spend, but I'm very calculative.
And then moving from, because you spoke about how you owed the university money. Obviously, you now, you know, trying to get into a space where you can afford your own lifestyle and you can also start helping out at home, because I feel like there's phases into this thing, you know. You start off with, am I making enough to sustain the actual business? And then you move into a phase of probably making a bit that you can look after yourself, and then getting to a phase where you can actually support the people around you.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
Yo, it's quite a journey. It's quite a journey.
So tell us about, I think just take us through the story of how you started making money. I mean, you moved from, you can just tell the story from your point of view. You moved from, you know, I have a big debt with the university. And now 2 years after knowing you, you are in a space where you're starting your second salon. So what was the money transition like for you?
Okay. So let me tell the story. Things happened so fast.
I feel like 18, like when I sit here and watch your posts and watch your growth and go into your salons, I'm just like, how did she do it in the space
things
of
things happened eight? So fast. Yeah. I also can't believe it. Sometimes I sit and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Things happened so fast. So, I mean, one time we were locked down and I remember I had only 2,000 rands in my bank account.
Yeah.
During lockdown. And I spent all of it because, I mean, I wasn't working and we had to eat. So I spent all of it. I was only a makeup artist then. Then I remember seeing a lady on my contacts. So I had this lady on my contacts and she was working during lockdown. Now I was very fascinated because I'm thinking, hey, what are you doing? We are all sitting at home doing nothing, but you're doing house calls. What are you doing? Then when I looked at her, she's doing these permanent eyebrows. I'm like, okay, permanent eyebrows. How are these things permanent? How do they last? Why? What makes them last so long?
Yeah.
1 to 3 years. And I contacted her. I asked her, I inquired about what she was doing. And she told me they are tattoo-like. That's why they last so long. And I asked, okay, so do you offer training? And she said, yes, she offers training. I asked her how much. She said about 10,000 rands.
That time you've spent your 2,000 rands.
I spent my 2,000 rands. I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And this is in April. We are still locked down. Now, I told her, okay, I'm going to get back to you when I have the money. I don't have money. Okay. So fortunately, after June, I think it was June, July, when we moved into level 3.
Yes.
When people started getting married again. Remember, people postponed their weddings for a very long time. So when we moved into level 3 and there were gatherings, people started getting married now. Yeah. So that's when I took advantage and I made most of my money then.
Okay.
I saved every cent. I saved every little cent. That's when I cut my hair.
They're like, for me to afford this,
yes,
I need to let go of the brace and, you know, cut.
Yes, that's when I decided to cut my hair. So I cut my hair late 2020 because I felt like I needed to focus on making money and this hair is disturbing me. I don't have 500 rands to spend on my hairdo every single month. Yes. So by November 2020, I had my 10,000 rands and I told that lady, hey, I have the money now. Can I start?
Yeah.
Now, I remember going to the bank. I've never seen 10,000 rands in my bank account before.
Yeah.
By the way.
You're like, all of this is me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now having to transfer all of it to somebody else was, you know, but I believed that I was going to make more. I just believed and I just knew it was going to work for me. I then attended a few days later. I then attended the training. It was in Pretoria. It was only 2 days.
Okay.
After that, I started advertising. Did I not get busy?
Sure.
Did I not get busy? You know, I got so busy. My first permanent eyebrow clients were my makeup clients.
Mm.
Clients that I already had who trusted me with their faces.
Mm.
Now I have this new thing and I was advertising it and I was pushing it. So they knew me, they trusted me, and they wanted me to do their brows.
Hmm.
So I was that busy.
I like that idea. So you were actually selling to the people that were already on your customer database.
Yes.
You're like, guys, this is what I have.
Yes.
You trust me already. Let's see how to make this magic happen.
Yes.
Sure.
And it happened. Let me tell you, it was only 2 weeks into... No. I attended the training mid-November. So we had only 2 weeks before December. I made... More than the amount that I paid for the training.
Sure. Now, customers sometimes want to negotiate prices down. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that you also, you know, painting the reality of how we were coming out of lockdown, although people, you know, were wanting to invest in their beauty or because of, you know, they're getting married, they wanted to do something with you or work with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's this whole struggle around customers want to negotiate.
Yes.
They're either late, they don't respect your appointments,
mm-hmm.
they want to negotiate down the money, they don't want to give you the deposit. how did you overcome this, or what's been your learning so far in terms of, you know, being strict around that and having people actually respect your business and the prices that you set?
I respect my business so much.
Mm.
I respect my business. This is my baby, and I learned to stand firm.
Yeah.
In what I believe in.
Mm.
Of course, when I started, you know, I would be flexible. If someone said, I only have 200 rands for makeup, I'd be like, yeah, come, it's fine.
Mm.
You know, when I started, I never used to make people pay a deposit. So I used to get a whole lot of disappointments.
Mm.
I would book, let's say, 5 people per day and only 1 person would come and 4 wouldn't come.
Sure.
So that's when I started implementing the deposit principle.
Mm.
Yes. And right now, I believe so much in it that if someone comes and said, I can't pay deposit because I don't trust you, then I'm like, okay, that's fine.
We can't do business.
Yes, that's it.
Simple.
That's simple, yes.
Mm.
So, I only have 500 rands. I don't have 1,000 rands. Okay, please go and save up. And then
we can talk. I'm just wondering, with all that you've put into, you know, the work, the business, sponsor the beauty, what if this did not work out? Did you always have a plan B, or was this your plan A, B, C to Z? You're like, I have to make this thing work.
I don't have a plan B. I don't do plan Bs.
Yeah.
I don't do plan Bs at all.
Mm.
If I plan something, it has to work.
Mm.
I just tell myself, this will work. This has to work.
Yeah.
It's either it works or it works.
That's it.
No plan Bs.
I love that.
I don't do plan Bs.
I love that. And in closing, do you have any tips for a person who might be listening and wondering, was I even born for business? Should I pursue this thing? Should I continue doing this thing? Because sometimes you start and you can't see if it's working. You don't know if it's going to move forward. You don't know if to pause.
Mm.
So there's, I feel, different people that could tune in and listen to our conversation. What tips or advice do you have for anyone who's hoping to either start a business or hoping to get their business back moving forward?
Listen, if you have a solution to a problem, just do it. If you have a solution to a problem, that's a way of making money.
Mm.
Just do it. Just start. And you have to believe in what you do. If you believe that it's going to work, then it's going to work. There's nothing that's going to stop you from making it.
Sure.
I believed in myself so much. Even when my family said, hey, get a job. You know, I believed that it was going to work, and it worked. So you have to believe in yourself and your dream.
Believe in yourself, believe in your dream, and we've believed in yours, and I've absolutely enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for being such an inspiration.
Thank you for being consistent,
and I wish you everything of the best in your business.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Loved it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.